You are listening to a sermon by Yong Tae Choi, recorded on Sunday, April 26, 2026, at Point Green Intermennonite Fellowship in Vancouver, British Columbia. The opinions expressed by the speakers are not necessarily those of the church. This recording is licensed for personal use by individuals only and may not be copied, broadcast, or redistributed without the prior permission of the church board. For more information, please visit our website at www.pgrmf.org.
Back in 2019, when I was invited to deliver a message here, that time, Chan was a worship leader, and he asked me kind of a surprising question. Hey, I'm just got married. What's your advice? And I say, live like your wife is always right, you know? Yeah. So it's great to see him and his family this morning. Now he has two kids. And lovely to see that kind of a growth in your church community. Yeah. My name is Yong Tae Kim Choi, actually. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me here again. This morning, I'd like to briefly share the story of Poel Foundation and then offer a short reflection from my personal journey with it. Let me begin with the story of Poel first. Poel began 2019. I started with a simple desire to support artists of faith in Vancouver, especially those navigating their both their creative calling and their faith. The word Poel comes from Greek. It means to create, to make, or to bring something into being. That vision shaped our community from the beginning, a space where artists could grow not only creatively, but also personally and spiritually. In just a few years, we began to see meaningful growth. We built a team of committed volunteers. We mentored over 20 artists. We supported more than 50 creative projects, and we celebrated over 40 awards received by members of our community. But more importantly, we saw people begin to believe that their creativity mattered to the church and culture. Structurally, Poel also grew. We became a registered business society in 2021, a registered charity in 2023, and more recently, a foundation. Today, we are guided by a board and supported by a team of artists and staff. Now, as a foundation, we are able to offer more holistic support to artists. At its core, though, our purpose has not changed. We exist to equip artists to create a life-giving art that nurtures humanity. To do that, we focus on three main areas of support, spiritual, technical, and financial. First, spiritual support. We care for the inner life of an artist through prayer, mentorship, counseling, and community gatherings. For example, through our Frame Art Mentorship Program, we partner with experienced artists to guide emerging artists not only in their craft, but also in their identity and calling. Let me show you one video. Can you play this video? This is a promo video of that mentorship program.
When I fell in love with God, I was really trying to put Him first. And so that's why I didn't know if I could be an artist, because I thought I had to do ministries or something, right? And when I finally realized that I didn't just have the freedom but the responsibility to be an artist, because that's who He made me, there was not a question after that. Many artists are insecure, and so they have become isolated. Or they are so isolated they have become insecure. They have no one who can give them professional or experienced feedback and honest critique. Many are even afraid to ask. Many artists, and perhaps artists of faith in particular, have struggled to find even one person to understand and help direct them in their creative journey.
Random and out of your own control into the project, because it It breeds trust.
This one here.
That's really fun, too, because we send them back and forth and back and forth until that moment. Done. Mm-hmm.
Hands-on, personalized demonstrations and immediate help in the midst of one's personal creative process are invaluable.
The material in this work is animal bones, mostly domestic animals that we don't think about as animals when we eat them as meat. And one of the main intents of the show is to reconnect with the animals and to consider the fact that there is never a feast without a sacrifice.
Knowledge alone can't change us. So much more happens than information exchange when artists share not only their knowledge, but themselves. This is what mentorship can be with the right person at the right time. The mentor comes into the empty space where you are with your work and with God, and affirms and is another voice and another ear, right? God with flesh on, basically, right? Artists need to create and need support and affirmation from trusted peers or professionals as they do so. I'm honored to be invited by Poio Center to help build its upcoming mentorship program and look forward to being available to participating mentors. To mentors and mentees alike, I commend you as you embark in this important and much needed endeavor.
Okay, great. I don't know if you know the Betty Sperma. She's a established visual artist of faith living in Fort Laney. We've also supported artists facing mental health challenges by connecting them with licensed therapists. In addition, every quarter we gather in person to worship, to share meals, to listen to each other's stories, and to be reminded we are not alone in our creative journey. Can you, next slide? Yeah. Can you, like, would you mind, like, a full screen? Yeah. Is that possible? Okay. Yeah. Good to know that. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. This is our quarter gathering, one snapshot. Second, technical support. So many artists simply need access to tools, space, and guidance. We offer consultations, equipment rentals, and studio connections. For example, we recently connected a Regent College art student from the United States with a local studio so she could continue her painting practice. We've also lent equipment like camera stabilizers, gimbal, technically speaking, to artists who want to develop their skills. Sometimes more support like this can make a big difference. Third, financial support. We provide financial assistance when artists face urgent needs, and we also invest in creative project. We've helped artists cover rent and basic expenses during, you know, their difficult seasons. We've supported projects like music albums, children's books, and films. One example is a children's sound book series, which became a bestseller on Amazon US. This is one of the copies. You can take a look at it later. We've also produced films that help churches and artists better understand how art and faith can work together, such as a project called Music in Worship, created in collaboration with filmmakers, worship leaders, and scholars. Can you move to the next slide? Yeah. And go to 13 minutes and 10 seconds.
Praise and
yes,
when we offer musical praise and worship to God, we're better able to know and relate to God, ourselves, and others. Let's look briefly at a couple of the many ways music does this. First, music helps us build a bridge or awareness between us and God's presence.
our awareness of God's true nature is reinforced and enhanced by the music we experience in worship. Some worship songs communicate God's transcendence, that God is more wonderful and powerful than we could ever imagine.
Other times, music reminds us of God's immanence, that God is closer to us than we are to ourselves, that God knows us better than anyone, that God knows how many hairs are on our head. It's important to have both points represented in worship. Musical expressions of God's transcendence and immanence help the gathered community to more fully understand God and experience God's presence in our midst.
Secondly, music helps us know ourselves and become more real and honest, both inwardly and outwardly. Music has the ability to slow down until it almost stands still, enabling us to focus our full attention on a single moment, to stop, listen, and simply be. Through dissonance and consonance, through the rise and fall of dynamics, music mirrors our life in the world.
Without music and the arts, our emotional life can be more confused and chaotic. Art and music can order our inner landscape and help us express our feelings in deep and profound ways. We are often at our most vulnerable when we experience the depth of emotion that comes through our contact with beauty and power in music. I know that's true for me. And through this vulnerability, we become open to the possibility of growth. This growth can extend outwardly. When we hear music, our brain naturally creates meaningful associations with the lyrics, rhythms, or emotions stated by the song. These shape our character and morality, which is why it becomes important to thoughtfully choose the music we play in worship. As the liturgist and musician Don Salier says, to persist in using tensionless, easy-listening music will over time produce tensionless spirituality. He believes music changes us and has an unmistakable effect over time, both inwardly as well as outwardly.
Lastly, music helps us know others. There are times when the power, grace, and beauty of music catches us up in what can only be described as an ecstatic experience. It's as though the city of God and our life on earth intersect for a moment, transcendence and immanence dwelling together like the lion and the lamb. With the beautiful diversity that is in the body of Christ, these moments can happen in different ways for different people. From a Christmas Eve service with candles, where an incredible sense of community overcomes many, to a living room with a single guitar or piano.
In these moments, we often feel that God is in our midst, inviting us to more fully experience His love and His character.
You give light, you are love, you bring light to the...
Worship through music is embedded in Christian community. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once said, "It is the voice of the church that is heard in singing together. It is not you that sings, it is the church that is singing, and you as a member of the church may share in its song."
Our songs are joined to the prayers and chants of the church all over the world and throughout time. Those songs that we share tell a story about our place in history. They help define us as a people. Singing songs from churches of different eras and countries helps us understand them in new and meaningful ways. It reminds us that Christ's church transcends any particular era or culture.
Together through music, we get a glimpse of the beauty of God and what heaven might be like, because singing does not end with our ministry here on earth. It says in Revelation, "After this I looked, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb. And they cried out in a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'"
Music is a gift from God to be enjoyed and celebrated by all God's people. In the celebration itself, the seeds of new life are planted. God will be glorified, and the transformed community of God's people will be singing together on our journey to discipleship.
Beyond these three areas, we also collaborate with churches and organizations. Recently, we partner with Tapestry Mother Park Church on a Visio Divina project, commissioning local visual artists to create works inspired by the God's grand story and installing them in a sanctuary like a gallery. Alongside the artwork, we published a devotional guide to help people engage both visually and spiritually. So I have the one copy of this book, so you can take a look at that, all the works and artist statement and the theological questions as well. In 2024, we held a group exhibition in downtown Vancouver exploring themes of human creativity and artificial intelligence. Next slide, please. This is the group of people working together for the Visio Divina project. Next one. Yes, that's annual gathering, group art exhibition, where I met Veronica 2 years ago. And we are also currently preparing for the Theology and the Art Conference at Regent College in January 2027. As you can see, many things have happened in this small but growing community over the past several years. There is much more I could share, but I will pause here. Now, I'd like to shift briefly to my personal journey with Poeo, which might help you see this local community from different angles. A few months ago, I wrote a reflection for our community. I'd like to share part of that with you now. Yeah, next slide, please. Okay. When cry, as I look back on my 44 years of life, it feels like a journey marked by tears. I cried the moment I was born. As a child, I cried after fighting with my older brother. I remember crying out in pain at the playground after tripping and badly cutting my chin on a rock. As I grew older, the reasons changed. I wept in prayer over my own broken. I cried through my first heartbreak. I cried from the deep loneliness of being an international student and from the intellectual frustration I sometimes felt during my theological studies. I have grieved over the decline of the church. And of course, there were tears of joy, like the overwhelming emotion I felt when my children were born. We all cry for many reasons, but for those of us who follow Christ, there is a particular kind of a tear, the tears shed while carrying out the mission God has placed in our heart. For me, leading Poeo over the past 7 years has been a season filled with tears, of course. There were tears when team members left because of political differences, on COVID-19. There were also tears from administrative struggles. It took more than a year of legal work to move Poeo from a simple community group into a federally recognized foundation. We were rejected twice because there were no category to understand Poeo's ministries. Having the responsibility for Poeo's long-term sustainability often kept me awake at night. I endure these years because I'm deeply convinced that Poeo is a mission entrusted to me by God. In many ways, it has truly been a journey of tears. What about you? What kinds of tears are you shedding right now in your place? Scripture speaks directly to those moments of exhaustion. The Apostle Paul writes, "Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." The Greek word Paul uses for labor is kopos, not casual work, but toil that leads to exhaustion, trouble, suffering, and fatigue. Paul is not describing light service. He is naming work that wears us down. Paul knew this kind of labor personally. As we know, beatings, imprisonment, shipwrecks, hunger, betrayal, and even a persistent turn in the flesh, he begged God to remove. And yet, he assures us that when this work is done in the Lord, it is never wasted, never meaningless, never in vain. A few months ago, while rebuilding the Poyo website, I spent time looking through our archives from the past 7 years. As I scroll through the photos, I find myself in tears again. In the early days, we had very little, no status, no resources, nothing impressive. But I saw faces, stories, community. I saw how slowly and quietly Poyo has influenced artists in need, local churches, and even parts of the broader art industry. Now, as a legally recognized foundation, we are able to share more resources and bless more artists. Seeing how God has worked through our witnesses moved me deeply. Psalm 126 expresses this hope so beautifully. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Those who go out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shout of joy, carrying their sheaves. I believe Christian artists are often those who sow in tears. The path is not easy. Space within both the church and the mainstream art world can feel narrow. Funding is limited. Platforms are scarce. Many of us live in the tension of the in-between, not fully belonging in either world. My prayer is that Poyo will continue to be a place that supports, encourages, and advocates for them in their middle space. Have you ever felt despair on your journey? Have you ever felt confused? If so, I want to encourage you, don't stop planting. Keep sowing your seed, even with tears. Be patient in the work the Lord has given you. And please know you are not walking this path alone. We walk it together in Christ. I truly believe that one day we will rejoice together, carrying the harvest with songs of joy. Thank you. Next slide, please. I know the part of your church tradition, you have some response time, right? So I prepare some, the first question for you. Yeah, thank you.
The reflection question is identifying your kopos. The Greek word kopos means, quote, toil that leads to exhaustion, trouble, and unquote. As an artist or any other profession, it is easy to feel that exhaustion is a sign of failure or a lack of faith. In your current creative practice or your vocational journey, what is the specific thorn or labor that wears you down the most? How does viewing this exhaustion as kopos, a recognized part of your Lord's work, change the way you value your struggle?